Chapter 16, we see the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. An individual joins their team. Timothy joins the team. And as I was reading this portion of Scripture, I thought it would be appropriate, and the Lord led me to this portion of Scripture, just appropriate for the day. Boy, if there's ever a day when we need to be out sharing the gospel, it's today. They're having their missions. We're having the missions right now. They're having their missions conference. When you look at the Bible in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us to be witnesses unto him, and it uses the word both. And that word both means simultaneously. And a lot of people say, how can I do it? Well, the Lord can equip us to do it simultaneously. But our churches need to be reaching out to the lost all over this world, and it's a blessing to see young people and individuals still going to the mission field and starting churches. But I'll tell you this, we need it here. We need it, honestly, we need it. We need churches in this Washington, D.C. suburban area. There are places all over, there's people. I love going up to Maine and spending time on Maine. I drive up that 95 corridor, and it just seems like when you leave Richmond, Virginia, you come to D.C., you go to Philadelphia, then to New York City, then to Boston, and right into Maine, all you see is people. And the opportunities are great. We just need to go. And that is the call of the day. You say, Pastor, how's the ministry going at Independent Baptist Church? COVID had its impact, but we've kept everything going. The churches, the schools, the different ministries that God's allowed us, our faith promise is God's just done great things with our faith promise, missions giving. Still, we have a church planting group, about 16 churches in our region that are trying to get churches planted everywhere we can. And Brother Mix came for his first time. And we're just trying to stay busy in the place that God has for us. I understand this. God has established his plan for saving the lost. And we must obey that plan. We don't need to change the plan. Sometimes we can fix up our buildings. You know, we can, Brother Mix is working on his building. When you get done, could you come over to my place? I need some help over there. He's fixing his building up, and you walk around this place, and it looks like it's happening everywhere. Amen? And it ought to be happening in our churches. And God has given us a plan, but we might change some things in our churches and clean up some things, but we do not change our doctrine. Amen. We do not change our Bible. Yes, sir. I'm not King James preferred. I'm King James. Amen? And we don't change, you know, where we've stood. There's no reason to change. God has not changed. And I believe the gospel, as we've preached it, as we've carried it out, door to door still works. Knocking on doors. Mission still works. Handing out tracts still works. Everybody has the opportunity to get out there. I'll tell you what, there's fish everywhere. We just need to get the hooks out. Amen? And get in the communities. And I've understood that the more we put out and more that we go out, the more that God will bless us with getting people. During COVID, I didn't want to stop during COVID. You fellas, you understand what I'm saying? And during COVID, I said, folks, you know, we're going to get in fights going to doors. So we took 5 zip codes and we mailed into them. I mean, we mailed the gospel into every house in 5 zip codes. And then we went after the police departments, and then we went after the firemen, and we were feeding them, and we were doing everything we could do just to reach every people group around Clinton, Maryland. And Clinton is not named after Bill Clinton, okay? And so it's Clinton, Maryland. It's right across the river. But God has blessed, and I know that we could do more, and we could see more happen, and I'm challenging folks, and we're doing some different things. We're working every avenue. But we need to be about obeying God's command in the gospel. We come here, and when we come to chapter 16, we understand that there was a church in Acts chapter 13. And God used that church. And I'm glad that church was ready to do what God wanted them to do as they sent out the Apostle Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. And they were open to what God would have them do in that day and hour. And they listened to the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we have our missions pattern that we follow. God gives us a plan for missions. And we have that today in this hour. I'm glad that church was open. And as you go through the book of Acts, it's just wonderful to read the impact of individuals that said this. I don't care about what anybody, you know, they weren't, the Apostle Paul wasn't involved in every other situation happening in the world. He was focused on the souls of men. And in our day and hour, folks, we can get caught up in the issues of the day, or we can get caught up in the main issue, which is seeing people saved. Seeing folks saved, baptized, and discipled. My attention was called to this portion of Scripture, and I'd like you, I'm going to get my eyes out, okay? In Acts chapter 16, I'd like you to look really at verse 5, and we're going to go down through a few of these verses, but could we stand for just a minute, do that Baptist aerobic thing, okay? Verse 5, it says, So were the churches established in faith and increased in number, listen to this, daily. Amen. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after that he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. Now on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there, thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this morning. Make it a special time for us. Thank you for each and every one of these servants of God that are assembled here, and we're assembled all. First of all, we want to be encouraged and want to encourage each other. But I pray that this morning that you'll stir our hearts with this area of reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stir us, and God, speak to us. And may we leave understanding that you want to use us in a great way, and God, that you're just willing to use that person that's available. Bless now, make it a special time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you. This morning, I'd just like to share a few thoughts with you out of Acts chapter 16. As I began to think about what took place there, the Apostle Paul, I've often thought, and some of you might be able to answer my question, it's amazing that they didn't take 4 years to raise support or 2 years to raise support. He just hit the field. And then you begin to read his first missionary journey, and he goes from place to place, Cyprus, and then Antioch of Pisidia, and then he just goes from place to place. And it's amazing, he went into those cities, preached the gospel, and planted churches. And then we understand this, he comes back and confirms those that had been saved and what was happening, and there were churches established. Now, I believe we need college. I believe we need Bible college. I believe we need Bible training. But I'll tell you this, we don't need to wait. It's almost as if I've often wondered how long. He didn't spend a month maybe in one place, 3 weeks in a place, and different places. And sometimes we want to take 2 years to get prepared to go plant something when there are people there and opportunities for us to see God plant a church and use us, and then to move on to see other great things happen. It just astounds me, and I've often wondered, I've asked a lot of preachers, how long did the Apostle Paul literally spend in these churches that were established? And you see these churches, they grow up and they become adult churches, and God does wonderful things. But here's the thought of the morning that I want to share with you. I want to share with you the thought, the other side of obedience. What is the other side of obedience look like? And I see the Apostle Paul as he is establishing churches, verse 5, so were churches established in faith. And I like it. It says they increased in number daily. And things were happening. And God was doing a special work. And we live in a difficult day, but people are looking. It seems to me, I'm seeing more and more. I've been asked questions. I'm around politicians. I'm around just people, and it seems like people's attention is starting to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm seeing people talk about a college, and you say, well, I don't endorse that. Yeah, there was a college where the students didn't leave chapel. They just started praying, and they couldn't leave chapel, and they had a revival. And people were looking. I heard preachers saying this: "Hey, I'm packing my stuff up and I'm going down there to see what's going on." And they were looking at revival, and it may not be our brand, but I'll tell you what: people are starting to look at it. I see news people that are starting to use the name of Christ, and I see people trying. They're starting to say the answer is not man and humanism and socialism. It's not that. It must be something else, and they're looking for a spiritual answer. I talk to politicians and they shake their heads. And honestly, some people say, can a politician be saved? And can a politician be clean? And I've been with some politicians this week that are born again, Bible believing, and they stand for what they believe down on the hill. But I've been looking at this and understanding that it seems like an opportunity has come forward in our day. We just need to be faithful. I got to thinking about it. We just need to be obedient. Now, when you look at the Apostle Paul, I just wrote a couple things down. We need to be obedient to Christ's command. You say, Pastor, this is so elementary. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, we read that scripture and we know you can quote it in your sleep. Some of you can quote it in your sleep. And we understand all power and authority is given to us, and we're to go into the world and preach the gospel and see them saved, and then baptize them, and then thirdly, teach them to observe how many things? All things. And we don't need to stop at salvation. We don't need to stop at baptism. We need to just be going on until Jesus comes back, preaching the truth and helping people to understand how to live the exciting Christian life in this day and hour. But I Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I mentioned that verse and that word both, and we say, how in the world can we reach our town, and how can we reach our city, and how can we reach the world? And we understand God gives us a biblical account here in Acts chapter 16 and Acts chapter 13 through 16, where the church sends missionaries out. But at the same time, they were reaching their region and their area, and it was an exciting church with teachers. And boy, I tell you what, you see in Acts chapter 11, and you see the church at Antioch, people getting saved, and Barnabas says, I've got to go get Paul and bring him back. And man, they get involved in that thing, and God does wonderful things when the church does not stop, but they obey God's command. Amen. There's not a perfect person here, not a perfect pastor. We're all learning. I went to Bible college, and I was so happy. I said, man, I went to Bible college, and now I can get out of college. I never have to take another test. And I became a pastor, and it wasn't a written test. It was a person test, okay? And God puts us in testing places. And I'm still growing. I'm still learning. God is still working in my life. I am not perfect. I'm one person and have my faults and disabilities and things. But I want to be used by God until I go back to see, until I go to see the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And I realize this, it will come through obedience. Obedience to his word. We look for all kinds of things. We find the Antioch church, we find Barnabas and Saul, obedient to the gospel. And then, we find obedience. I came to the place where I realized this, obedience is not a question. Obedience is a must for us. To just obey the call that he's given us. And I appreciate, I enjoy mixing with pastors, honestly. I mix in with pastors and they teach me things that I've never heard, or maybe they teach me another method or something that is really working, and that just strengthens me. And that we need to be iron that sharpens iron, but we need to be obedient, and obedience is a must. And I see that in this chapter. The Apostle Paul is traveling, and the first obedience that I see, the Apostle Paul is traveling, and I wrote this thought down, and I'm not going to be real long, but what are you all having for lunch?
Barbecue.
Barbecue. Hey, I won't be very long at all. I realize this, the first thing that the Apostle Paul was obedient to, he was obedient to the Holy Spirit. And we need to be spirit-filled, spirit-controlled pastors. Brother Bishop doesn't tell me how independent needs to be run. And I don't, phone over to Brother Bishop and tell him how to run his church. We need to be obedient to the Spirit of God, to God himself. And he's given us the Spirit to indwell us. The Apostle Paul is going along. And I want you to notice, as he's traveling along, it says this, the churches were established. And it says in verse 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. You might want to underline that in your Bible. The Bible says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Apostle Paul listened to the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was going this direction and he had a plan. We all put plans together. Some of them, they fall flat on our faces, amen? We make these plans, and we think it's all going to work out, and we have it all set up. Sometimes we need to get God involved in our plans. But the Apostle Paul's going along, and he says, man, Asia, there's people there, and great opportunities. I don't know if you as pastors ever think about it. I've gone on missionary trips, and man, I've been slap in the middle of, in India, just people everywhere. It broke my heart, and I drove through India, and I said, God, why did I get the privilege to be born in America? You just see people, we stopped at a light, and they were bumping up against the car and knocking on the windows, pregnant ladies and women, just little kids, and just nothing, and sidewalks, everybody. It was worse than New York City, And one of the deacons grabbed an ink pen out of his pocket and just opened the window and gave it to a little girl. And she hugged that pen and ran through traffic like she had just received a gold bar. And I said, Lord, thank you for letting me be saved in America, having a godly family. Thank you for letting me be in this place. And man, I tell you, the Apostle Paul, I don't know if you guys, if it happens to you pastors, as you go out, but sometimes I get out there and I get stirred up. I mean, I get into a missionary church or get into an area and I just get stirred up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to see a church planned there. I want to see something happening. But God has a place for me. And I've got to be obedient to him in the place he has placed me. And I can't do the work for everybody else. But I know this, God has a work and a job and people and opportunities. There are visits to make. Yesterday I was driving around just visiting people that were shut-ins and people that had surgeries, and We have people with cancer and situations that are happening, and newly saved individuals that need to be begin to grow like we have grown and continue. But I need to come to a place where I don't get looking at all these other things and forget being obedient in the place that God has for me. Paul's traveling and he looks to Asia and he says, I need to go to Asia, and he's heading that direction. And all of a sudden God says, no, that's not where I need you. It's wonderful to know the will of God in your life and to be in that place. And the Apostle Paul stops. And the Bible says, if you'll notice in the next verse, it says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. It says this, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. You might want to circle that word, essayed. And that word essayed has the thought to attempt or to try. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, hey, there's another great place I can go to. And he said, you know, it's a nice place. It's full of people. And I'm going there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, it's not your desire, it's my leading. In other words, sometimes we have something that we come up with, but it's not always what God really wants in our life. God has a work for us to do, and I'm so thankful to see that the Apostle Paul was willing to be Spirit-filled and to be Spirit-controlled. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit, and God began to use him, and he stopped, and then he stopped again. He said, well, I'll go to this place, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I enjoy preaching out, and I enjoy being with pastors in different places. I went up to Maine, and it was 6 degrees. I was with Brother Todd Bell up there. Man, that guy must have been one of those hyperactive kids when he was young. I mean, the guy is going every direction at one time, and he said, I'm not shutting down church for snow. And we had 4 inches of snow while I was preaching, and it was 6 degrees. And then he said, hey, you know, no Baptist naps today. He said, there's a church that doesn't have a pastor over 2 towns over in Wells. And he said, I'm pastoring that too. And he said, would you preach there? And I went over there and preached there. And I had me a hotel in New Hampshire that I was going to drive to. And he goes, hey, could you stay and preach tonight at my church? You know? And we preached. And I just realized God has a work for us to do. There's a place, there's things. Brother Bell just drove me around. He said, this Catholic church just died here in the middle of town. And he said, they said they would never sell me a building. And he said, they just sold me this gymnasium. And it's right in the middle of the building, brick and block, beautiful building, wood floor gymnasium, room for his high school and his classrooms. And he said, I'm thrilled. And he said, God is already paying this project off. And boy, God has a work for Todd Bell. But, you know, he's a pilot. And he started 9 churches in Maine. And sometimes he gets in a plane on Sunday morning and he flies to another church, preaches there, flies back, preaches in his church. And God's using him just to get the gospel out around that place. And I'm glad that there's 9 indigenous churches planted because a man said this, I'm going to obey your will and do what you want me to do. And that's what we need to do in this day and hour. We need to be obedient to the Spirit. I noticed a second thing I'd like you to look at. They were obedient regardless of satanic attacks. Apostle Paul, they lead Lydia to the Lord, and then they're in town, and there's a girl that comes, a damsel, it says. If you'll notice, it says, and it came to pass, verse 16, it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain. She was making money for a man through her demon possession. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Now, that's a true thing. But when it comes out of a demonic mouth, it causes disruption. It hindered the gospel in that day. And everywhere that they were going and they were sharing the gospel, walking through town, here was this woman, and she was following them. And
These the servants of the Most High God which show unto us the way of salvation. That's a great message, but I'll tell you what, when it comes out of the wrong mouth, it's a difficult thing. And we understand this, it was disrupting, and the Apostle Paul turns around and immediately he comes and notices he did this, and did she many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her master saw that that the hope of their gains was gone, hey, I believe she got saved. I believe something happened. The demonic problem was gone. And now they couldn't make money. And so what happens? Man, the town gets riled up. They get thrown in jail. And boy, I tell you what, you begin to look at all that is taking place here. If you are doing something for God, there seems to be, there's going to be opposition. I mean, I have, you know, I've learned, I've been pastoring for 28 years, and I have, you know, God has given me victories, and my wife always says, well, we just had a good day, look out. I preach out of the book of Job, and she says, why did you preach out of Job today? I said, why? She said, every time you preach out of Job, we have something happen in our house, okay? Something happens in our church. And she just said, buckle your seatbelt, something's coming. But it seems like here they are, and the Apostle Paul said, I don't care what's happening. It may be demon possession. There might be trouble in the town, but I am going to be obedient to God and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what happens, we understand. I love it. You know, he sees the Macedonian vision. And I love what the Bible says, immediately. I mean, he didn't wait around. Immediately he goes and he gets right involved in the ministry. And Lydia gets saved. And this little girl gets saved. And God begins to do things. The town is stirred up. Last week we took the Bible into the Capitol. My wife, again, with great advice, said, hold on to your seatbelt. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, last time we put the Bible in the Capitol, we had a rough time for about 2 months in the church. And we went downtown, and we put the Aiken Bible in the Capitol. And I had a man call me, and he said, I'm only King James. I'm not Aiken Bible. And I said, Aiken was the printer of the King James Bible of that day. And Aiken, George Washington, and the Continental Congress went to Aiken. And they gave him approval. It's the only Bible that's been approved by Congress. And it was a King James Bible. The kings of England didn't really, they weren't getting along with us real well. And they wanted to print the Bibles and import them in and make us pay taxes for the Bibles. So they didn't want us printing their Bible. But George Washington said, let's print 10,000 Bibles and give them out to the people of the country and to the military, Continental Congress, to our military, and so they approved it, and we reprinted it and got the digitals and reprinted it and put it in a beautiful case. And on Capitol Hill, you can't give gifts, but you can give publications, and it's a book, it's God's book, amen. And so we put them in every Senate office and every House. We put them in there, and we put tracts and gospel literature, and did what we could do, and prayed with the leaders. But last week, they started calling us on AOC's floor. I don't know whether, but they start sending people ahead of us, and they were saying, don't take it. It's, you know, the ethics, it's against the ethics rules. We had checked the ethics, everything was fine. And well, I'll tell you what, we started getting calls, but then we started getting calls from people saying, thank you. Amen. It was exciting to see what God did. There were secretaries in some of the liberal offices that said, they might not take it, but I need you to pray with me before you leave, you know. We had things happen that just were not normal on Capitol Hill. God gave us a wonderful time meeting new Christians, new believers that are our leaders. But I've come to understand, if you're going to go out door to door, if you're going to hand out tracts, if you're going to be busy for God, if you're going to be obedient to God, the old devil is going to be on your trail. And that happens to the Apostle Paul.
That vision comes in the night, and he says, hey, we can't wait around. We're heading through, and we're heading to Macedonia. And he realized it was God's will, and he said, I'm going to be obedient to God's will. He gets into that place, and he begins to share the gospel. And, you know, I'd have thought Lydia was saved. I mean, she's praying. They want to pray. They're down by the river, and you thought this is a group of spiritual people. But Lydia gets saved, a business lady gets saved, and she wants to have the church in her house and invites them to be there, and things begin to happen. The demonic gets saved, and the apostle Paul comes to a place where he realizes there is going to be trouble, but I'm not going to let it stop me. Hey, fellas, you might be going through something today, but let me just say there's a God that'll be with you through it, and he'll be with you on the other side. And God has us here for such a time as this, to do what God wants us to do. I've realized there's no big preachers. In fact, fellas, the ones we cut our teeth on, they're gone. They're coming off the scene. I asked one man, I said, where are the big preachers? And they said, they're none. It's just us now. But it's exciting to realize there are men of God that are obedient to God, amen, that serve God in their church. There's no big churches, there's churches. Amen. There's no little churches, there's churches. And if you're a small church, you ought to thank God for those small beginnings. Amen. Looking ahead, someday you'll look back and say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Someday you'll have a missionary on the mission field and you'll say, hey, it's not just us. He's over there, and he's over there, and God's doing that. And you'll be able to clip coupons for eternity from what God has done through you. Obedience to the Spirit. Obedience in the hard times. But then I noticed this, and let me share. The Bible does say in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there's going to be difficulties that come. But then I noticed the last thing, and here's what I wanted to get to. If we will just be obedient to God in our lives, in the place that God has, and a lot of us say, my church, it's not my church, it's God's church. If we'll be faithful in the place that God has us in his church, in his place, with our family, in the area that God has placed us in, if we will be obedient, there is the other side of obedience. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? The Apostle Paul and his missions team were able eventually to look back, and they were able to say, thank God I didn't go to Asia. Thank God that God stopped me and I didn't go to the places that I wanted to go to. Thank God that I was obedient in trouble, in the hard times. You know about the jail and all that took place, the Philippian jailer and all that takes place in this chapter. But the Apostle Paul was able to look back and say this, look at what God has done. Just because, and honestly, fellas, we are nothing. Honestly, have you ever been amazed that God uses you? I'll never forget my first speech at college. I was giving my speech, and I looked back, and my teacher had a red pen, and she was marking things on her book. And I stopped, and she goes, and my name is T. Michael Creed, Terry Michael Creed. And she says, Terry, she says, what's going on? And I said, well, I looked back and you were marking things on your book and it wrecked my train. And she said, well, you have a D right now. You better get your train moving. And I look back to those days and I say, God, I can't believe you. I'm not worthy that you use me. And every one of us, God has put us in choice places to be used. He has somebody there. For you see them get saved? And you look back after years, and it's exciting. I'm only 62. I can collect my Social Security now.
I'm only 62, but I can look back and say, God, you have been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Help me to continue to be obedient to you. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? We see that he was obedient, but he was obedient understanding that God, understanding that there will be fruit. The Apostle Paul looked back and he saw Lydia and he saw the church that was started there. You go to the demon-possessed damsel in verses 16 through 18. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And the jailer got saved, and the family got saved, and they all got baptized that night. And there are other portions of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is recalling faithful people, and many people believe that some of the names in that, one of the names may be the name of the jailer that got saved there in that Philippian jailer. It pays to be obedient, to look back. And I look and he goes a little bit further. There are converts in chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. There are converts of Thessalonica. And then there are converts of Berea. I'm glad that he didn't go to Asia. I'm glad that he went to the place that God wanted him, because it was just one place in God's plan for his journey, and he just kept going. And we have that church of Thessalonica and the Berean Christians that proved the word of God. They heard a message and they went to the scriptures and proved the message that they heard. And then you go and you begin to look at those that were saved there in Athens. Boy, those highfalutin, all those people that had an opinion about everything. They had a statue to the unknown God. And the Apostle Paul said, I know exactly who he is. He created the earth. And let me tell you about him. And he shared Jesus Christ, and people got saved. You say, Pastor, what are you saying this morning? I want to encourage you this morning. God will use you if you'll be obedient. God has his word. God has his plan. Several years ago, I took some seniors to Dominican Republic. And one of our bus kids, Steve Sidler, has been there for 28 years now. And God's used him greatly, and it's exciting to see what God's doing through a kid that just walked in off the bus route, single mother. His mother just passed away last week. And he's been there and served God, and I think he has about 9 churches they've established around the island. And he's just a knothead, but he's down in Dominican Republic. You know Steve Sidler, okay? He's a great guy, and I went and we were driving and we drove past a place called Samana. And it kind of looks like a finger on the northern part of the island, sticking out on the island. It's a peninsula that sticks out. And I said, could we just take a day and just go up there and just survey and see if we can find a Bible-believing church on Samana? I didn't know anything. Didn't know what I was talking about. I just seen it. I looked at it on a map. We went up, and we started at the very beginning of Samana in a place called Sanchez, and we went from city to city. It took us an hour just to drive across. But we went from city to city, and we asked people, is there a good church that you could recommend to us? And we don't have a good Bible-believing church. We don't have a good church. We were passing out tracts, and we went to the next town, and the next town, the next town. We went all the way across to the city of Samana, which is a very historic city. And as we were there in that city, we ate at a restaurant and we began to talk and make a plan. I said, man, I'd love to just bring a team of people here and just hit Samana. And we had the map and we went, we didn't even do the northern. There's a road that just kind of goes up and then comes back down to Samana. And there's cities up there, La Terrenas. And I had that in my mind, and I made a plan to do it, but some years had passed. And I had been talking about it to the church, and I was mentioning it to people, and finally I said, I want to do that. And I mentioned it to church, and we took 38 people. We took 38 people in November. I'll never forget Labor Day. My dad calls me and he said, "Mike, do you have a hotel for your 38 people?" And I said, "No, I should get a hotel, shouldn't I?" And, you know, he says it's not safe in some places. And so I flew over for Labor Day and just really praying. I wanted to get home for Labor Day, but I went and Steve picked us up and we went immediately to that peninsula. And it was, the sun was going down, and we went to a hotel that we thought we could put the group up at. And they didn't even have any room. They didn't have enough room, and they didn't have any openings for the time we were going up there. And I just felt like God closed the door on that place. And we called a hotel, Joy Wesson. Does anybody know Joy Wesson? Joy Wesson's there, and her husband was a missionary there. He drowned. And she had to raise her, I believe, four children there. And she works with deaf people, and God's used her greatly. Working in a church now. She stayed. And she said, "Why don't you check this place?" And we called the Turtle Lagoon Hotel. And the guy answered, you know, I'm like, man, that guy sounds mean. And we said, "Do you have a room we could stay in tonight?" And they interpreted, he's like a Italian mobster that speaks Spanish, partial Spanish. That's the only way I can describe the guy. And this guy, you know, he come over, we had a room, you know. I'm like, man, I hope he wants us there. And we went to that hotel, and the rooms were clean. It was amazing. There was air conditioning in the rooms, and they had hot water and showers. Man, I was like in heaven. I'm like, this doesn't happen in Dominican all the time. And so in the morning, it was clean, towels and everything was good. And I said, "You ever let groups come here?" And he goes, we have up to 75 people come sometimes. And I said, "Would you have something available in November?" And he said, "Absolutely, I'd love to work with you." And it has a big wall around it. It's one of the safest places in Dominican Republic. Right out the back was a beach, one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. And he gave me a really good price, and I took 38 people. We brought in a bunch of Dominican folks. We brought in about 20 Dominican folks that could help us translate and things. We put about 500,000 Romans up there. We put 500,000 Romans, and we put 250,000 tracts. And we had 10 days, and we just prayed. We got there. We didn't know what we were doing. We just said, "We're going to plant the seed and see what God does." And we just started in the first city of Sanchez there at the very beginning, and God just began to open doors. I mean, people were, we had policemen say, "Could I have a stack of those? I'll give them out for you." And he was out leading, you know, directing traffic, wanting to pass out our gospel literature. And we were giving them out, and it wasn't normal. People just throw them away. You would walk back by somebody, and they wouldn't even look up. They were just so into it. They were reading. We had the Spanish people follow us and lead people to Christ. We came to a big steel gate, and there were these big buildings, Constantino wire. And I said to the missionary, I said, "What's this?" And they said, "That's the school." We knocked on the steel gate, and he spoke to them in Spanish, and they said, "Come on in." And they let our whole team come in, give literature, to be in every class, preach the gospel. We had teachers that were weeping and getting saved. We had groups of kids, 350 kids in big crowds sitting there listening to the gospel. Coaches on baseball fields would pull everybody together and let us share the gospel with them. We ended up going to 30 different schools. The Lord may win Dominican Republic through its schools. The president said, "We don't want American wokeness. We want the gospel. We want Jesus Christ. We want the gospel. We want the Bible." So they made a law that the Bible is to be taught in schools. 30 different schools we went into. We were going from town to town. We'd go in the morning. We'd eat lunch. They'd either bring a lunch to us, or we'd stop. If we were close, we'd go back, and then we'd get an hour, and then we'd take off again. And our people were coming back weeping, giving testimonies, every night putting literature together. And it was the most incredible thing that I had been involved in a long time. I come back to America, and we had, like, honestly, there were 3,300 people that claimed that they had trusted Christ as personal Savior in 10 days. And you share that in an American church and everybody goes, yeah, right. Probably some of that easy believism. You know, you come back to America, it's almost like people don't believe in revival anymore. Now there's two churches there. We had a missionary come, and the missionaries, I mean, he's straight, sharp as a tack, preaches the gospel. He's from Costa Rica, and God called him there. He speaks English, married an English girl. And he came, and his team went with us, and they were sharing the gospel and helping us translate. And it was amazing. I would see teenagers standing on the porch with one of our ladies leading them to Christ. Our missionary, Steve Sidler, sitting in somebody's yard with 80-year-old men circled around them, and they're all just hanging on every word. We were everywhere we went. We went out to a coffee plantation, and I knocked on a door, and a lady came, and I didn't know what she said. And the Spanish guy said, "I got one in town." Town was 45 minutes away, and it was just like we just were scratching the ground. You know, God says there's some people that water, there's some people that plant, but it's God that what gives the increase. I believe if we would just be obedient in our day, it would happen. But I just, as I went around and looked at what happened, this missionary called us up after we got back. And we had young people that were called on that trip that are going into missions either there or somewhere else. And God, God stirred people up. And I'm just glad that I could be obedient. You say, "Pastor, what are you doing?" I'm going back in November again. I'm going to take 100 people this time. We're going to have 100 this time. I called the hotel guy up, and he said, 125. I said, "Put us in for 100. I'm going back again just to see what God will do for people being obedient. The missionary says to me, he calls, he says, "Pastor Creed, I'm ashamed that you had to come to the country that I'm preaching in to reach an area that we haven't reached." He said, "I'm just kind of ashamed of it." He said, "I'm in San Francisco de Margaret, right in the middle of town." He said, "It just doesn't need to be me. We need to start other churches." He said, "So we went and picked up 500,000 of those. He picked up 50,000 to start off with. And he hit his immediate area, and now he's starting a second church in his area." He said, "I'm glad you came." And we were nothing, but we just said this: we're going to make every minute count. I told people it's not a vacation. I said, we're going to come home. If you want to take a breather and sit somewhere and look at the ocean, that's fine, but in the morning at 7:30, we're getting on the vans and we're heading out. And young people, and we had a lady with cancer that was on the trip. She found out she had liver cancer about a week before she went on the trip. Her mother died. She was Dominican. Her mother died the day before we left, and she was in a town that we were going to be in. She went and buried her mother and then came back up there and was in public schools witnessing to people. And I looked at that, and I said, "God, thank you for not letting me drop that. God, thank you for letting me just have a little part in organizing something that could be powerful in the future." And fellas, it's a wonderful thing. Right now, it may not. You might be in the persecution part. You might have had a setback. It might be a rejoicing time in your church. But let me say this: someday we can look back and say, "I'm glad I met Lydia." I told the people, there's a Lydia somewhere here on Samana that needs to get saved. And the couple that is starting a church there. There was a lady, she said, "I own 7 lots right here." She said, "I'll give you a lot for your house, and I'll give you a lot for your church, and I'll be in your church if you come back here." Guy came back and said, "I met Lydia today, and she's saved. She's just looking for a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church." And God's just waiting for us to be obedient. And I got thinking about this. There may have been 2 no's and then a please come over here. But now that Paul was on the other side of Athens, he could look back and say, I'm so glad that I was obedient. And the other side of obedience is an amazing thing. Well, there will be a time we'll be able to look back and see what God has done. But today, we need to be obedient. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a privilege just to be here this morning. God, thank you for the scriptures. God, thank you for the examples that you give us. God, thank you that even today, your word is fresh. It's real. It's true. Thank you that today we can obey. We can listen to the Spirit's call. We can obey the Holy Spirit. God, we can plant churches and see people saved and lives changed and see wonderful things happen. God, help us to realize there is another side to obedience. May we be faithful in this day. From the youngest person in the room to the eldest adult, God, would you use us to see others saved and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.